Look in Acts chapter 2, and now let's see what the church, the very first church that Jesus planted, the very first church that Jesus established, the very first church that Jesus started, I don't know, how do you want to say it? The first group of people that were saved, that were added to the church, the first group that met to be His church, what were they like? Okay, now, you remember the story. Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. It's a Sunday morning, 50 days after the Passover. Jesus has gone back to heaven. They've been waiting in Jerusalem for 10 days. They've been waiting for the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is poured out on them. They start speaking in tongues. A crowd gathers. People said, well, they must be drunk. Peter said, no, we're not drunk. We just got good news for you. And Peter stands up in Acts 2. Remember? Acts 2 verse 22, and he begins to talk. The very first time he talks about the good news of Jesus, the story of Jesus, after Jesus has gone back to heaven. And he says that Jesus was a man who was accredited by God. He was a man that was crucified by God's plan and our sin, raised from the dead, be exalted as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you folks, including us, need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that's in Acts chapter 2, go from 22 all the way to 38. What I want you to notice is verse 41. This is where we start. Verse 41. You read it so you know I'm not making it up. What did they do? That's what I want you to hear first. What did they do? They accepted. Those who received His words, those who accepted this message, those who believed it, those who wanted to be a part of it, did what? They were baptized. They did what Jesus said to do. They did what Peter had commanded them through the Spirit to do. Now, that's the first step, y'all, to becoming the church that God wants us to be, is accepting His Word. Whatever it is, whatever it means, whenever He expects, we need to obey Him. But now look at verse 42. What did they do after that? Now the 3,000 of them baptized that one day. Oh, time out, I got to tell you. We didn't have 3,000 yesterday, but I saw two people yesterday. Saw two people confess their faith yesterday and decide they wanted to be buried with Jesus and be raised to walk in a new life. Saw it. Got to see it. Got to be a part of it. And their names are Lucia and Chris. They'll be at the second meeting, so don't run off. As they come in, I'll give you a chance to get to meet them. But they got a great story that I'll tell you sometime. Remember, we've talked and we've laughed before about Esther showed up for lasagna. These folks showed up for enchiladas. And so now we have decided our whole mission is going to be lasagna Sunday, enchilada Sunday, lasagna Sunday, you know. And we may just baptize the whole world if we have enough lasagna and enchiladas. But I watched that. That's what happens. People hear the message of Jesus. They accept it. They receive it. They obey it. And that's what creates a church. You do not, this is right, you do not create a church by getting together and saying, I think we'll have a church. I think we'll go over here and have a church. I think we ought to have a church. I don't like the way they're doing it, so I think we ought to do it our way. No. The way you build a church is you teach about Jesus, people accept it, receive it, obey it. Ta-da! That's church. That's how you do it. Now look in verse 42 to tell me what kind of church these folks were. What kind of church did they become? First phrase, the first rattle out of the box, what does it say about them? They were devoted. Now folks, this is not directed at anybody except all of us. It's not anybody out there. It's us in here. You and I have, those of us who grew up going to church, have struggled sometimes because we've seen what we thought, lots of people who came to church just because they had to, you know. They showed up to church whether they liked it or not. They went to church whether they wanted to or not. They sat through church and they sang a song and prayed a prayer and gave a dollar whether you needed it or not, because that's just what you're supposed to do. And there wasn't much devotion. Now be real honest, you and I can't tell somebody's devotion by looking at them. You and I can't read somebody's heart. But this is not about them. This is about us. If we're going to be the church God wants us to be, if we're going to be the church that the message of Jesus saved us to be, what's got to be a part of everything we do here? And I mean everything. What's the word? Devotion. So what does it mean? You're all in. I heard somebody say it yesterday. You're all in. What does it mean to be devoted? Give me another way to say it. A word that may click with you. All in, committed, devoted. Give me another word. All in, faithful, devoted, faithful, all in. Steadfast. All in, steadfast, devoted, faithful, committed, all in. One more. Give me one more. Last call. Focused. All of those words, take all of those words and put them in devoted. We know about devotion because we're devoted to some things. We're devoted to our jobs maybe, or we're devoted to our wives or our children or our mates. We may be devoted to our hobbies, but we know about devotion. But what we ought to do is take that devotion now and put it into the church that Jesus created us to be. If we are going to be, and you're going to hear me say this so much you're going to get tired of it, if we're going to be the kind of church Jesus wants us to be, we've got to be a people who are devoted. And he lists some things that we're to be devoted to. Now, he's going to put four. I'm going to add a couple, and I'm not going to add a couple. He'll add a couple later. Keep reading. In verse 42, lists the four things. Lists four things. I'll write them down because guess what? We're going to need to remember them. What are we devoted? What were they devoted to? The apostles' teaching. What were they devoted to? Fellowship. What were they devoted to? Breaking of bread. What were they devoted to? Prayer. Now we'll stop there for now. No need to wear these out. But folks, what does it mean to be devoted to the apostles' teaching? What did it mean for them? We start with them. Let them be our teachers. What did it mean that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching? They were going to seek those apostles out. They were going to be around those apostles so those apostles could do what? Teach them. Teach them what? Teach them about Jesus, because the apostles had been with Jesus. The apostles had received the Spirit so they could remember the things to teach them about Jesus. And he knew two things, and we've said it before, that Jesus can teach us not only to have a new life, but he can teach us how to live that new life. And so these people that had received that gift, man, they wanted to learn. How do I do this now? I've got me a new car. How do I drive it? I've got me a new life. How do I live it? And so the apostles' teaching was, they were devoted to it. Now, folks, what does it mean for us? And I need us to be much more specific, much more practical. What does it mean if we're devoted to the apostles' teaching? All right, you're seeking people that reflect Christ. I like that. But what is it? What's the teaching? How do I devote myself to the apostles' teaching? Anybody? It's just that pointed. Study the Bible. Now hang on. Here's what that means for those of us who grew up going to church. You go to Bible class. You go to Bible class. Well, I'm all for Bible class. But guess what? He's not talking about Bible class. He's not talking about just being faithful on a Sunday. Folks, our church where I grew up, we had Bible classes Sunday morning and Sunday night. We were the faithful. I don't know about the rest of you liberals, but we went to Bible class both times and Wednesday night. We called it prayer meeting, but we went to Bible class. Here's the point. I'm all for Bible class. I think Bible class is great. But if I'm going to be a part of the church that Jesus wants me to be, I need to devote myself to the apostles' teaching. Can I do that without having to find an apostle? Yes. Can I do it without having to find a teacher? Can I do it somewhere other than inside the church building? Yes. I've got to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. So what would that mean? What would that mean?
Yeah,
it means to study. You get your Bible open and start to read. You get your Bible open and start to study. Now, hang on a second. We look at church. Well, at our church, and I've heard it said here. Said, well, y'all don't have Bible study. You hadn't been here long if you don't think we have Bible study. But because we don't have the traditional Bible class, does that mean we don't have Bible study? But here's the point that really needs to be made. My Bible study doesn't need to depend on somebody standing up here and teaching. It doesn't need to depend on whether that door is open or not, or that light's turned on or not. No, Bible study takes place where? Wherever I can find apostles teaching. And guess what? All of us got one. In fact, some of us got several. Some of them got real nice leather covers. Some of them got paperback that's worn out. But the apostles, you carry them around with you. They're right here. Now, I know we got some folks just getting started. For others of us who grew up hearing this, this won't mean anything. But what that means, y'all, if you read the right, you're in the book of Acts. If you went to the book of Romans, that's the Apostle Paul teaching that church how the new life and how they should live. You keep reading 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, keep walking through your Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Every one of those letters was written by an apostle to people who were members of the church that Jesus wanted them to be, and he was telling them, here's how you can get a new life and here's how you live that new life. So you want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching? It's right here in front of you. You look at the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 and 3 John, and you've got direct apostles' teaching about what he wants us to know, what he wants us to do. So are we going to be the church Jesus wants us to be? Oh, we got a nice little church. We got a nice little church. Man, we got donuts and burritos and kolaches. We got hot coffee made fresh every Sunday. I don't keep it from Sunday to Sunday. Got the best chairs in the brotherhood. But are we serious about being the church Jesus wants us to be? You know how we do that? We devote ourselves to the study of His Word. And that's not dependent on what the church is doing, not dependent on what the teacher's saying. It's dependent on me, you, opening our Bibles and studying. But we're also devoted to, look what it says, we're devoted to fellowship. Now, if you grew up going to church, what did fellowship mean? Honest. Eating. Going to have a potluck dinner. Fellowship is the Greek word for casserole. All right? I think that's where we get that word. I'm all for that. And you're going to see their fellowship included eating. It sure did. It sure did. And I am all for that. But what does fellowship really mean? And I don't, if you know the Greek word, that's fine. But what do you think the word fellowship really means? It means participation, participating in each other's lives. And they were devoted to each other. And this is not the church house participation of walking in, how are you today? I'm fine, good. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. No, it's participation. It's knowing. You doing all right today, Beverly? And knowing that Beverly's going to need some of our help this weekend, and I'll tell you about more later. It's participating with her. Knowing what Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday and the religious traditions that are part of Catherine's past, what that means to her family and what it means, the practice of it, the pattern of it in the past, but also the pain that's attached to that. Things that we know about that she shared with us. It's a participating. It's participating with the brand new Christians that come in here at 10:30, and it's participating with the folks who will walk in who've been beat up and bruised by the world. It's not just, congratulations, good to see you. God bless you. How are you doing? You're doing fine? Doing fine, fine, fine. Because honest, what we've done in church before is we shook everybody's hand and looked over their head at the next guy we were shaking their hand. Fellowship means you participate in their lives. Real quick, not our point of the study, but start reading the New Testament letters and looking for this phrase. One another. Jesus said His church would be a fellowship place, a one another kind of place. A new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you, and by this all men will know that you're my disciples. All men will know we're disciples because we got the right name on the door. No. All men will know that we're disciples because we got the right kind of program. No. All men know we're disciples because we do things in the right order. No. They'll know we're disciples by the way we love each other. So listen to Paul teach them in Rome. In the letter of Romans, he said, I want you to accept one another. And listen to him teach those folks in Ephesus. Be kind to each other and forgive each other. Listen to him say it to the Philippians. I want you to consider one another more important than yourselves. Listen to what he says in Colossians when he says, I want you to bear with one another and forgive each other. In 1 Thessalonians, those Thessalonians, he's going to say, I want you to build up each other. Peter will add to that and said, why don't y'all serve each other? And John will tie the knot on it when he said, I told you, if you're going to be Jesus' disciples, you're going to love one another. The church was meant to be a place where we're devoted to fellowship. That means participate. Now, what kind of programs does a church develop if we're going to be devoted to fellowship? Your answer is perfect. There is no program a church develops that does that. You know how that develops? Somebody tell me, how does that develop? It's me doing what I can do to be devoted to fellowship. It's you doing what you can do to be devoted to fellowship. It's not about waiting on somebody to form a program. It's not waiting on somebody to fashion a budget, figure a budget. Nope, it's about me saying, okay, Michael came in here. I need to know what's going on in Michael's life. I need... There's some folks coming at 10:30. I need you to meet. I'm gonna do my best to make sure you get to meet them. Not just new Christian, but got some folks coming that are kind of beat up. They need to be around some people that'll protect them. But it's me taking responsibility for that. It's you taking responsibility. We become devoted to fellowship. I love Bible study, but Bible study doesn't mean anything if it's not followed up with loving each other. We're also devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, real quick, all right, real quick. Those of us who grew up going to church, what were we taught this meant? It meant communion. Okay, let's start there. There's lots of things to discuss here. This is not the time or the place we're going to do it. But let's say it is the communion. Let's say that phrase means there, the communion. They were devoted to that communion. Do you think that they're going to forget to eat the Lord's Supper? Do you think they're going to forget it? Man, that's the last time they got to be with Jesus before He got beat up. You think they're going to remember Him talking to them? You think they're going to remember Him washing their feet? You think they're going to remember Him breaking that bread and passing it out and pouring that cup for them to drink? You think they're going to forget that? No. Man, they were devoted to it. I imagine they were kind of obsessed with it. We're not going to miss this thing. Well, we're not going to miss this thing. We're not going to miss this thing. I wish we were the same way. Let's be devoted to that supper just that way. Not about, well, you know, it ain't no big. No. We need to be devoted to that. But it may mean more than just the Lord's Supper. It may mean something else. What could it mean? What could the breaking of bread mean beyond just the Lord's Supper? Sharing a meal together. Why is sharing a meal together a big deal? Now, I need you to think it through. Why is sharing a meal with somebody a big deal? It goes back to fellowship. Why is sharing a meal a big deal? Very good. One more. Why is having a meal with somebody a big deal? That's what you do with your family. Good point. I like that one. Let's do one more. That was so good. Big deal about a meal. time out, relaxing, Lynn said it. Of course, you understand our culture, we have gotten way far away from that. How many of us eating around the TV instead of the table? How many of us watching something instead of talking? I'm not getting on us. I'm just telling you, it's our culture that's changed. But there is something that takes place when you share a meal with somebody. It was a big deal for them. I wonder if it might not become a big deal for us again. Could there be something that we've been missing in being the church God wants us to be because we don't devote ourselves to having that kind of time together? Possible? Now, I'll draw a conclusion. I think this is more than just eating together. I think he's talking about something that's not just sharing food together, because it's going to talk about sharing food together again. I think this, he's already talked about fellowship, so I don't think he's talking about just having a meal together that way. I think he's talking about us remembering Jesus together. There's some other things we ought to discuss there. But folks, we need to be devoted to that. Devoted to this supper, but it's not just while it's here. Not just when that door is open. It's not limited to a location or a place. It's not limited to a place or a time. They were devoted to the memory of Jesus. Last one. It says they were devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Are we? I don't know if I brought it. Yeah, I did. I brought it. This is an example of nothing except what I want to be. You hear me? I'm an example of nothing except what I want to be. I believe I started the month after my mother went on to Gloria. The last night I got to spend with her is the night she called the roll of all of our family and said their names out loud and asked the Lord to bless us. And I've tried to pick up that habit and keep doing that now for a year or more. And I started with you guys at about that same time. We were reading in Acts about the hour of prayer, and I got to thinking, that's a good idea. At least 3:00 in the afternoon, I ought to get my smartphone to remind me that I need to pray. So I started keeping a card, and I try to change it once a month. This one I did in January of the new year and forgot to change it, and I think the dog bit it. I think Melanie washed it. So this is not an example of anything except what I want to be. I want to be a man that's devoted to prayer. On this list, Dwayne Culpepper's on this list. And my prayer for him was he would have an easy transition between this world and glory. And now he rests in glory. God answered that prayer. In this, I pray that Samantha would accept the new gift of life, the new life from Jesus. She did, thank God. I prayed that Let would obey the gospel. She did. I prayed Timothy would obey the gospel. I prayed Michael would obey the gospel. I prayed for you on here. There's lots of folks on here. This is what I wanted to do. I want you to do it as well. I want us to become a people devoted to prayer. Now, you know how that happens? I do it. You do it. There's no program. Well, I think at 3:00 every day we'll have Facebook. Tell everybody to pray. I'm all for it. You can get Facebook to talk to you. Good. I don't have Facebook. I don't let it talk to me. But you want Facebook to remind you? Get after it. Let's do it. Let's use anything we can use. Hire you a skywriter if you want to and print it in the sky. Pray for Rex at 3:00. I don't care what we do. Let's just do it. Let's pray. Let's be a people devoted to prayer. Now look what else happened. Because they were devoted in fellowship, because they were devoted in a teaching, because they were devoted in prayer, because they were devoted in breaking bread, look what happened to that church. What is it? Look in verse 44 and tell me what happened in that church. Together they had all things common. They took care of each other. Has it ever happened in this church when somebody needed a place to live, we helped them find a place to live? Has it ever happened in this church when somebody needed some clothes, did we help them with some clothes? Did anybody ever need some groceries and we helped them with some groceries? Anybody ever needed a vehicle and we helped them with a vehicle? Anybody ever needed a job and we helped them find a job? Anybody, has that ever happened here? Yes, but now it just needs to multiply, it needs to grow. We need to be devoted to our fellowship. We need to be devoted to learning to be like Jesus so much that we take care of each other. But keep reading. Not only did they have all things in common, not only did they take care of each other, what else did they do? Keep going. Verse 44, 45, 46. Look at 46. What did they do? I'm sorry? 46. Keep going. They were eating together. That's right. That's good. There's something else. It's in 46, y'all. You get an extra donut, Dave. Good for you. They were devoted to thanking God for what He had done for them. Folks, let's never forget that. Think of all the good things God has done for us in this last year. Think of all the good things that God has done for us in the last several years. Think of all the good things that... Johnny, you got any good stuff going on in your life? You got a good job? Yes. You got a nice place to live? Yeah. You got a truck you're driving? Yeah. You got a son that's texting you now? You got a son coming to see you? Johnny, got any reason to praise God? Yeah. I got any reason to praise God? Yeah, you got any reason to praise God? Let's be devoted to His teaching. Let's be devoted to our fellowship. Let's be devoted to remembering Jesus. Let's be devoted to praying for each other. Let's be devoted to praising God. Let's make sure we never miss a chance to thank God. What happens if we become that kind of church? What happens if we become that kind of church? Two things are stated after they were praising God. What does it say? They had favor with the people, and people were saved. Have we ever said this before? That we want to be the kind of church that helps people and blesses people, saves people and blesses people. We want to be the kind of church that helps people receive a new life. We want to be the kind of church that helps people see how good God is, how wonderful Jesus is to them. So we bless, we praise God, we bless people. We do that, and lost people will be saved. All right? Let's remember Jesus.